Right now it's Gordo and the O-Deck. And this is brought to us by Tylock George Eye Care.
Well, we're very excited to have Rich Phillips in with us here.
Hey, Rich.
On this side of the glass.
Yes.
Because, Rich, you worked for many years on that side of the glass doing ticket tickers for us. How many years did you work on the morning show?
15 years.
Gosh. I said 51 earlier. I was wrong.
Yeah, you were a little off. You had the numbers reversed. That was your Lex Dixia and kicking in.
And a total of 18 years I worked here.
18 years total at the station. Now, how did you start at the ticket?
I was doing tickers from 3 to 7.
That's when we had...
That was the last hour of the hard line when they were in the noon to 4 days, I believe. And then 3 hours of Chuck Cooperstein from 4 to 7.
God, I forgot the hard line moved from noon to 4.
Yeah, about a year. Yeah.
Because they were 11 to 3.
11 to 2.
11 to 2.
Those are pretty good odds.
Yeah, originally.
Good odds.
And the Musers were 2 to 5.
Yeah. They were noon to 4 when I got here, and about a year later, they went to afternoons and demanded Mark Folliwell go with them. So I got moved to middays.
That's right.
And I worked with Chris Arnold.
You will not work on the hard line when we go to afternoons.
And Coop moved to middays. So mm-hmm. It's Chris Arnold and Coop. Right? And then Coop got dumped, and we had Rocco
Pendola. They went in a different direction. Just call it that. Did Hardline move to afternoons the same time we moved to mornings? Is that the way
yes.
it worked?
No.
Like the exact same time?
To afternoon drive? No, because y'all were already on the morning show when I started. I started late 95. Y'all were already on the morning show.
I thought we were October of 95.
I think you're
like
right.
That.
I think that's correct.
But I swear that's about the time the Hardline moved,
no.
too. A couple
no.
months later?
No, it was...
another year?
Like the start of 97, I believe.
Okay, we got to get record of this because we all forget.
I know. And this brings up my topic, which is how much of your life do you remember? Like, were you good about keeping...
The parts I want to.
Oh, no. There's a lot underneath that iceberg under the water.
What about if it's the parts you don't want to?
I forget all about it.
You don't let the trauma
try not
write
to.
Deep on your hard drive?
No, that's funny. I think that unfortunately for most of us, the traumas... You don't forget those.
Right.
That one time someone made fun of you in middle school and they...
It still sticks with
we'll
you.
We'll never remember it, but
later.
You remember it.
Yeah, why is that? That just
well, it goes back
feeling.
To... Didn't I just say this sentence yesterday? The old saying about how the tree... The axe forgets, but the tree remembers.
Yeah, I think you said that on the invasion.
Okay, that's yeah. what it was. Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Well, that's the way it happens with trauma, right? The one person who tossed off a... horrible comment. No telling how many jokes I've made that hurt somebody, and I didn't realize it at the time, but they always did.
Would you like my list of those?
Yeah, I'm sure Rich has a huge list.
No, it's not a grievance.
Yeah, and then hopefully you get older, and then you regret basically everything you did when you were younger. Either you hope that you have nothing to regret, or you hope that if you do have regrettable things, that you actually do regret them.
Would it be worth our time to research people that we've wronged and just find them and say, you know, this happened 30 years ago.
You know,
I just wanted to let you know that I'm sorry. Or the other way, you did something that was great and it meant a lot to me.
I think
never
the
told
second
you.
One absolutely should.
Yeah.
Do.
Yeah.
The first one's a little bit murkier because I've had this happen before where I looked up someone that it's always bugged me that I was mean to. It was like we were kids and it was like the summer camp. I was meeting this and I always felt really bad about that. And I contacted him, I don't know, let's say it was 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So many decades after the fact.
And he hadn't let it go?
No.
George Dunham.
He didn't remember it at all and talked about how we had such a great time at that camp.
Ooh.
And so then I'm in a position where I'm telling him stuff that I'm sure stayed with him days afterwards. He was fine. So that was my first experience with, well, maybe it isn't always such a good idea to go back and apologize for something that may not be in this person's brain anymore.
But what if it was something that stuck with him all these years? And I told you about a dude who just killed me daily.
Yeah.
And it still bothers me.
There is a dude who was mean to me one day.
Just one day.
And my whole career is based off of that one day and one thing that he... said and made fun of me in front of people and everything, and then it was like, man,
okay,
I got to do something.
Kill or be killed.
Yeah, it's kill or be killed out in this world. It completely rewrote me. And I guarantee you that dude doesn't remember anything about it.
No. I guarantee you this dude that I told you about doesn't remember anything. Because after torment for about 3 or 4 days, he'd act like my friend for a day.
Mm-hmm.
If it was just us. And then we'd get around other people and he would just destroy me. And everyone would laugh, you know.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah.
I had one guy who was a friend.
Frill?
High school, going to college age, and then stabbed me in the back. And
stole an MLS listing out from under you?
Pretty much, yeah. And I still haven't let it go to this day. And he passed away like 7 or 8 years ago.
So you won. That's pretty cool.
That's kind of the way I looked at it.
Just go dance like Rich.
Number one. Just go dance like Shadur Sanders on his grave.
Somebody that was in that circle reached out to me to let me know that he'd passed and when his services were. And I couldn't have had any less interest than to go to that service.
And there's Rich doing the gritty going through a graveyard.
Yeah, there are some people that wronged me that I have nothing to do with. Yeah.
No, I never spoke to the guy again.
You're done with me. Yeah. Nah,
yeah. And see, I don't know if that's healthy. I think we should all forgive.
This guy, by the way, his goal and dream in life was to work in sports radio. I'm serious.
Uh-oh.
And man, I always just felt like I was scoreboarding him on a daily basis.
Gosh. Oh, hit that music again. There's Rich.
Here's Shador Phillips over here.
100%.
Dancing.
100%.
Just like Shador in the fifth round.
Okay, George, is this guy that you always talk about? Because you've told these stories off here.
Yeah, I did. For me, I did. It's just, man, I don't want to.
He still lives in Texas. Best in the Texas.
At a church or
something. Yeah, he's involved in his church. And so maybe he's turned it around.
No, we're not calling him.
And he's a nice guy. We'll cold call him later on, maybe at 8:40 today. We'll see how this forgiveness session goes at 8:40. It'll be fun. But yeah, so would you go to his funeral? Well, you weren't close to him.
No,
like, later
I haven't
on.
Seen him since I was.
But Rich is talking about like
old.
A guy that we was did. Close friends with you, right?
Yes,
yeah,
I would.
Yeah, you know, 40 years ago.
Yeah.
I think it is important for us to, and I'm no therapist, but I think for your own sake, I think it's good to just forgive them and just move on.
Okay, but do they seek forgiveness? Like you're talking in your hypothetical, are they coming to you and really truly remorseful and you feel that
then
way?
Then absolutely I think you should. Yes.
Or really? You should?
I think so. Yeah.
Rich
I think
is
that's
disagreeing
the right.
over there. Yeah.
I think that's the right thing to do.
Old revenge Phillips.
He may have reached out to me one time.
Oh boy.
And blocked. Got no reply.
The shot is blocked.
Okay. All right. Hey. Well, I mean, in Rich's defense though, aren't there some people that hey, you do something wrong to me, I'll say, okay, hey, man, it's over with, it's done, but you're not going to be in my life anymore. That's it. I choose
too.
Who's in my life. And
yes, I think that's fine to do. But I've known people that have forgiven the person that maybe killed a member of their family.
Yeah, and those are powerful stories when that happens.
Yes, you know,
because there is a mental cost to carrying a grudge.
Yes.
There's the old saying that a grudge is like drinking poison and hoping the other. Well, I'm not doing the axe on the tree again. Don't repeat me. But yeah, what's the old saying about drinking poison and hoping the other person dies? That's what holding anger in is. Yeah. It's you drinking poison.
It's not good.
Hoping the other person dies. Something like that. I botched it, I'm sure.
Sure.
No, I know
mean,
what you're
maybe
talking
it's an
about.
Axe drinks poison and hopes the tree dies.
I don't think that's it.
So, what were we talking about? Oh, how much of your life do you remember? We all remember certain traumatic events. But think about this. There are probably traumatic events that you've undergone that you have forgotten. That were very traumatic at the time.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about those kinds of traumas where you psychologically black out, you know, the ones that are really, really bad, but just things that were huge deals to you.
Yeah.
I mean, think about horrible breakups we've all been through and how that just, you did not know how you were going to live after this.
Especially the first one.
Yeah. Just heartbroken.
Just devastated.
And now, do you still think about that often?
No. But when I do think about it, I remember those emotions, though, and just thinking,
Yeah.
If I could talk to 16-year-old me, then I'd say, hey, it's fine.
Do you think any of our 16-year-old selves would listen to a word that our 80-year-old selves would be taught?
No.
Okay, boomer.
First of all, 59-year-old me would be unrecognizable to 16-year-old me.
I'm you from the future. There's no way. If you're me from the future, I'm ending it right now.
You're twice me. No way.
No way, dude. That is not me.
Wow, my wheels go that far off? Gordo.
Crap.
Oh, yeah. Would we all be... Okay. Your 13-year-old self. Mm-hmm. If you're 50, whatever, what did you say, 59? If your 59-year-old self talked to your 13-year-old self, and they got to learn all about your career, your life, all that, would your 13-year-old self be disappointed, or would they be excited, thinking, wow, you've had a really good life?
I think they'd be excited.
Really, mine would be disappointed.
No, I think they'd be excited. And mainly,
mine would be, you're in... sports radio? Wait, when did this happen? When does the sports thing happen for you?
The sports thing...
We're still waiting for that, by the way.
Right.
What? Someday I'm going to talk to Randy White and Tom Landry and Roger Staubach. What? That's what happens to my life? I used to... Do you ever go to bed at night and think, I wonder what my wife is going to look like, and am I going to have kids? And if you would have told me that this was... I would have... Oh, my gosh. That's awesome. That's amazing.
That you had a relatively successful marriage, as you put it, in the cubicle area
out there. Right, yeah. I mean, hey, you know, that's better than most.
It's better than most.
No, I would have just said, oh, yeah, you hit the jackpot.
Mm-hmm.
And not even taking into consideration this job, just my personal life.
Your family life and all
my
that?
My family, yeah.
You wanted kids when you were 13? I mean, not... you were 13, but you wanted kids in the future?
But I just, you know, in your 10, 11, 12-year-old brain, you just think, well, someday I'll have kids. I wonder what that's going to be like. And yeah.
So that's a good answer. You would be impressed with your 59-year-old. You'd be happy. You'd think you'd had a good life.
And the fact that I was still going, you know? I mean, there were times when I was a teenager, I was like, am I going to die young?
For some reason, I feel like most people think their 13 to 15-year-old selves would be disappointed with where they are now.
Huh.
Kids don't have perspective.
Yeah.
You know, they would, what a 15-year-old thinks is a good life is probably not the same as what someone at 60 looks back on and thinks is a good life.
I didn't dream of the kick-ass, you know, and that's the difference in whatever.
You didn't dream of hot tubs and Maseratis and
that's the difference.
Cocaine all hours of the night.
In the 5 years that I think is between us, there's something in there, and maybe just, you know.
Somewhere in that 5 years, the idea of a constant threesome got introduced.
Okay, now why did you have to take it there?
Well, I'm sorry. That's just an example.
But no, this, I want to have 3 Mercedes-Benz. I want to, you know. I never dreamed about all that. My big thing was I just wanted to be happy, and I wanted to have a nice family. I wanted to, you know, have a happy life, and I had no idea how I was going to pay for it all as far as I got to have a kick-ass job. I just wanted a job. In fact, when I was 13 and working in the bag room at the golf course, I thought, yeah, I could do this for the rest of my life. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Get to drive golf carts and pick up the range. Fine with me.
All right, Rich, what's your answer?
I think 13-year-old me would be thrilled. And it has more to do with probably the professional side of my life. Because
the family is pretty rough.
No, it's pretty good, too. It's better than I expected, actually. Mm-hmm. But we talked about this before the show this morning, George. I mean, 13-year-old me thought Michigan Stadium looked really awesome on TV. Fenway Park looked cool. Daytona International Speedway. Thanks to my job, I've been to all those places.
Yeah.
I've worked at those places. And, I think at least on the professional side, 13-year-old me would be pretty satisfied. Because, you know, I went to North Texas to be a business major.
I thought
I was going to be trading stocks one day.
Yeah.
And then I had a roommate who was an RTVF major, and I was like, You can do that in school? You can study that here?
Said the same thing to Craig when we met him.
Were you a big dog in school?
No idea. Yeah.
Donnie has a question for you there, Ray.
And so I immediately changed my major and took it from there.
What about you, Gordo?
No, I would be incredibly disappointed with everything I've ever done, including how late the segment has gone.
Oh, boy. Yeah, sorry about all of that, but we'll hear from Marge next.